I have this very interesting book this morning called A Kick in the Seat of the Pants. Kick in the Seat of the Pants. Anybody read this? By Roger Van Oak? Anybody? It's a book that's very good, very interesting. It's filled with different projects and studies and instructional notes about just how to get the creative juices going again, whatever your field is or however you work. It's just to get you thinking creatively and out of the box and that sort of thing. For example, one of the ideas in his book is to look around you for something blue. And why don't you do that right now? Just look around you for five things that are blue. Five things that are blue. Maybe it's on the clothes of the person around you or on the banners behind me or on your shoes. Find five things that are blue. Well, he says if you do this, you find five things that are blue, you'll start seeing blue everywhere. You'll have the blue mindset from now on. And so you'll leave church this morning and be like, hey, there's blue, there's blue, and there's blue. And the same thing, he says, goes for the car that you get, if it's a new car that you bought, and all of a sudden you see everybody's driving the new car that I bought. It's just you're in that new car mindset, and so now you're seeing things, you're seeing those things. We tend to find the things that we are looking for. Like when I was a technician, I was trained to be a technician in my younger years, and I noticed cords, and especially if they're not plugged in or if they're in a jumbled mess like they often are around this area up here. I'm trained to see the frayed cords or cords that are loose or aren't plugged in just right. And I'm not necessarily OCD about it. Otherwise, when the praise band's up here, you'd see me, you know, trying to move cords all over the place. But if I'm at your home, if you invite me to your home and I'm in the living room and the box fan there is not plugged in all the way, I'm going to immediately notice that and run over and plug it in. It could cause a fire. Someone could get electrocuted. I'm trained to see those sorts of things. And so my mind goes there. And well, if you're a nurse, if you're a firefighter, if you're a police officer, whatever your job is, you're trained in certain ways too to see and notice certain things in the world. And so sometimes we're trained to see things that we may not be looking for, but we're automatically go there and notice things. But sometimes we find what we're not even looking for. Dr. Marvin Overton, he is a neurologist in Texas, and he is part of the Texas Board of Neurology there, former president of that board. And as the Wall Street Journal article talks about, it tells a story about Mr. Overton. He was, by his own admission, cruel and cold toward his patients. He was a rationalist, a scientist, and believed only in the power of science and nothing else. He had a love for wine, not that he was an alcoholic, but he collected wine. And he had this huge wine collection worth about $1 million. And he said, and he's quoted as saying, that he serves the god Bacchus, the god of wine. And he makes for an excellent heathen, he wrote. He made for an excellent heathen. Well, all that changed one time when he started going to this, feeling God's call, a sense that there's more out there than just wine. And so he started attending this small church in Texas. And it was about the same time that he started going to this church that he was diagnosed with cancer. And the x-rays proved it, and he saw the x-rays. Well, weeks went by, he went back to the doctor's office and had more x-rays done and more tests done, and all of a sudden, nothing. There was nothing there, nothing on the x-ray, nothing in the test that showed he had cancer. Well, this sealed in his mind that God was for real. This really sealed his born-again experience. That God was a real being, and that he was really believing in someone who has the power, the authority to change even things like cancer or x-rays. And so his life changed even more from that moment on. He sold his wine collection and gave most of the money to charities and whatnot. Who are we to say that a miracle didn't happen? The chairman of the neurological board said at that point, some things changed his life. Who are we to say that a miracle didn't happen? Some things changed his life and changed it dramatically. Now, many people are burdened with physical and spiritual concerns today. And sometimes in the middle of it all, we find maybe what we're not even looking for. And that makes all of the difference. And so that's why I'm excited to speak with you this morning. So many, including myself, have found something or someone that has made all the difference in our lives and has changed everything. We have found Jesus, who has brought healing and forgiveness and has set us free from our demons. Not many people in our world, our culture today, are trained to see spiritual things or trained to see anything beyond the material world that's around us. In fact, if they believe that God exists at all, they'll say that God's way up there somewhere. He's out there somewhere, but he's not really here. He doesn't really care. He's not really involved in our lives down here. But our Bible reading today does indeed point to a God who cares, a God who is certainly involved in our world and in our lives. And it is he who often finds us when we didn't even know what we're looking for. So I just want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 31 to 44. I invite you to follow along as I would read, as I invite you to keep your Bibles open too. It's so important to read the Word and to hear it and to follow along and refer back to it, of course. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 31. Then he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to the place where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is God's holy word for us today. What amazing words these are. With power and authority, he's able to even cast out demons and physical ailments, too. Jesus' sermon in Nazareth, his hometown that we looked at last week, was more than just hot air from a seminarian who thought too much of himself when he came home to preach his first sermon there. These words, this teaching ministry of Jesus, were different. There is a certain vitality, a life-giving power in these words, in his teaching, and they could all see it. They knew it. He wasn't like the rabbis who always looked to precedent, that Rabbi so-and-so said this, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and therefore this, this, and this. No. Jesus just said it directly, and he spoke truth directly. And it says in this passage that he goes down from Nazareth into Capernaum. He goes down even though he's going north, and Nazareth is kind of on a hill, so he's going down the hill, but he's going to the north side of the Sea of Galilee where the town of Capernaum was located, a seaport village, an important seaport village of the day. Trading routes would go through that village where people would buy and sell and trade. Of course, fish was for sale, and a lot of the food, the agriculture of the day was there, and they would buy and sell and trade. And what an important place, isn't it, for Jesus to begin his ministry and to do these miracles and to have his teaching right there in Capernaum? Because as travelers would come by, and as they'd come through, and they would hear these stories, and they would hear Jesus, and they would see the miracles, they would go from town to town, and the news would spread easily that way. It was before the age of internet, right? And before the age of social media, of spreading the news. This is how news got spread around, as it went from word of mouth, from person to person. So I want to share three things from the Bible, three truths from the Bible with you this morning. And the first one is Jesus has power and authority over spiritual forces. Jesus has power and authority over spiritual forces. And maybe I need to begin that there is spiritual activity behind the normal things of life, and maybe we don't all accept that or see that. It reminds me of when I helped out at a play in college. It's Calvin College, who won the basketball game with Hope yesterday. Just wanted to throw that in there. But I was helping out in the Calvin Theater Company in the play. I was a backstage hand in the back. I was never an actor. But it was a very interesting process to see all that goes on behind the scenes of a good play. You wouldn't imagine the number of people it takes, the number of activities and plans that need to happen one after another. That's fake snow falling from the sky doesn't just happen. You know, there's somebody up there, you know, shaking the snow out. People moving the furniture and costume changes and makeup. There's all sorts of people behind the scenes that make that happen. Well, I think the same is true in real life, in our life today, that there is a behind the scenes spiritual activity that is going on that we don't usually see, and maybe we're not trained to see it, to find it, but it's there. Well, take a look at verse 33 and 34. In the synagogue, in church, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" The answer is yes. The demon then confesses who Jesus is, saying, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I know who you are, the Holy One of God, the Messiah. That's who you are." Now, demon in ancient paganism could stand for a good spirit or a bad spirit. So Dr. Luke makes the distinction very clear that this is an impure spirit, an evil spirit, or an unclean spirit. And to the Jew, the unclean spirit would mean right away that it could not be in the presence of divinity, could not be in the presence of God, and could not be something that could be brought into the temple. It was an unclean spirit, impure, unholy. So a demon or impure spirit may cause a mental disorder, but it doesn't mean that every mental disorder is caused by demon possession. It could cause erratic behavior, violent actions, disease, and of course rebellion against God. This is the kind of supernatural spiritual activity behind the scenes of life that often are denied in our Western world, with our Western mindset, a materialist mindset, where people in other parts of the world see it very clearly. And yet there are some today, even in our Western world, who see the devil behind every bush or under every rock, or a demon everywhere they go behind the lost keys or a slip on the ice or sore throat when you're supposed to teach a Bible study or preach on Sunday morning. But one thing's for sure is that the presence of Jesus shook loose a dark spiritual force that day in church. The demon got nervous because he saw and knew who Jesus was. "You are the Holy One of God," he says. So we pick up our reading again, verse 35 and verse 30 through 37. Jesus says, "Be quiet, come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." and the news about him spread throughout the area. As you could imagine, it would happen, and you heard this happened in your small town, where the word would get out. But the interesting thing is here that Jesus just says the word. He just says the word. He doesn't dance, he doesn't shout, he doesn't wave his hands, he doesn't do some magical incantation. He just says the word. And it harkens us back to God in creation, right? Genesis chapter 1. God just says the word and he transforms the chaos and the darkness into light and to life. And just as God transformed that darkness of chaos, darkness and chaos into light and life, so here Jesus just says the word and transforms this man's darkness and restores his life to him again. Jesus just says the word. The deliverance ministry of Jesus is so important. It shows us his power and his authority over dark spiritual forces in the world. Whatever may be lurking behind the scenes of life, Jesus is greater still. He's more powerful. Jesus has power and authority over spiritual reality. It also shows his compassion, his love that he has for God's people, that he really is involved in our lives. Jesus is doing what he preached in Nazareth, proclaiming freedom for the prisoners, setting the oppressed free. That's part of his sermon that he preached in Nazareth, setting the oppressed free. That's why he came. His words and deeds go together. And the powerful arrival of God's Son, the Messiah, the righteousness of God, must confront evil in the world. And evil must flee at the word of Jesus. The Jews believed and they hoped that when the Messiah came, that dark, evil, spiritual forces, the demonic powers of this world would be crushed. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was victorious over Satan in the wilderness as he was tempted. And now is showing how he's victorious over all of Satan's minions as they work through people's lives and tormenting, harassing them in all of these smaller towns and villages. So there is spiritual activity behind the scenes of life, and Jesus has ultimate power and authority over spiritual forces. But the next truth I want to share with you this morning is this, that Jesus has power and authority over the physical forces of life too. Jesus has power and authority over the physical forces of life too. Take a look at verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and he went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Again, just like Jesus said the word to a dark spiritual force, here in a physical ailment, Jesus just says the word, and the fever leaves mom-in-law. It wasn't just any fever. Dr. Luke says it's a high fever. This was a serious fever, a serious situation, a serious condition. And even a high fever must obey the authoritative word of the Lord. You know, many today will testify to the healing power of Jesus in their own lives. Many of you have testified to me the healing power of Jesus in your past, that he's healed you of something. It may have been over a sin, an addiction, it may have been a physical ailment, but you testify to the healing power of Jesus. Many will testify to that. Sometimes God uses medicine. Sometimes God uses doctors to heal someone. And sometimes he does that along with the prayer, and sometimes it's just the prayer that he uses. But we know that God doesn't heal everyone. It's not always the type of healing that we want to see. So God, in his sovereignty, chooses to heal when he will and when he wants. Immediately, Simon's mother-in-law gets up and begins to wait on them. I don't know if she made pizza or not, but it shows how immediately she was healed, how quickly she was healed. And it also shows how mom-in-law was healed to serve. I believe that she got up and out of gratitude for what God had just done for her and her healing, got up and began to serve the others. She was healed to serve. And I think that's the same for us too. As we are healed And maybe you've been healed of a sickness. Maybe you've been healed of an illness. Maybe a demon has been cast out and you've been healed from a dark spiritual force or torment that's been in your life. And then when you come out of all that, what do? Yeah, you tell others what the Lord has done for you, but you serve others out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for you. So we too are healed to serve. So word got out about the healing and deliverance ministry of Jesus. While the sun was setting on the Sabbath day, which means they were allowed to travel a little further than they normally would, but as the sun was setting, they started to bring the sick. They started to bring those who were demon-possessed or tormented or harassed by demons to the doorstep of Jesus. While the sun was setting, it says. They didn't wait for the sun to set. Usually you wait for the sun to set completely, then you could travel. But no, it just hit the horizon and they were out of there. We got to get to Jesus. And they eagerly took those who were sick and demon-possessed to Jesus while the sun was setting. And Jesus continued to demonstrate his power and authority over the physical and over the spiritual forces and realms of life, part of God's creation. And the third truth I want to pass on to you today is that Jesus broadly proclaimed the message of the kingdom of God. Jesus broadly proclaimed the message of the kingdom of God. So take a look at verse 42 and following. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because this is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues in Judea. Jesus must go to other towns also to proclaim the message that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is present in Christ. Jesus is the Holy One of God, the Son of God, the Messiah. He doesn't need demons to proclaim that for him. And wherever he goes, evil must flee. Wherever Jesus goes, life is restored. Wherever he goes, darkness is banished. Wherever he goes, there is light and there's hope and there's joy. The gospel message cannot be contained in one small town or one church or one denomination. So Jesus kept on preaching and teaching and ministering to the content of the Word of God in the synagogues throughout the area of Judea. Jesus went to solitary places to pray, but the people wanted to hang on to them. They wanted to keep him for themselves. They had to let him go. They had to let him go. The good news of the kingdom of God had to get out. It must continue to spread, and people need to hear this good news of deliverance and freedom and healing that comes from the authoritative word of the Savior. So Jesus continued to broadly proclaim the message of the kingdom of God, present in Christ, that even forces of evil in the physical and spiritual realms of life must submit to him and to his word. So here's the thing I want to leave you with this morning, is that I think we've all been burdened by a physical or spiritual ailment of one kind or another. Some of you here this morning are struggling with a physical ailment or harassed by a dark spiritual force of some kind. And most of us know someone in our families or close circle of friends who are struggling with a physical ailment or spiritual one. The good news this morning is that Jesus has the authority and the power to heal and to set free. Jesus has the authority and power to heal and set free. And we can bring our own demons and our own sicknesses to the feet of Jesus in prayer and confession and intercession for others too. Who has the authority in this world? Who do we say is in charge? Stephen Carter says religion is at its heart a way of denying the authority of the rest of the world. Religion is at its heart a way of denying the authority of the rest of the world. Christians recognize the authority of God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. He is ultimately in charge. He has ultimate authority. Yes, sometimes God heals. Sometimes he uses others to do it too. 4.5-year-old Jordan called his dad at work one day because he had a splinter in his hand after playing on the old picnic table. And dad was wondering, why didn't mom get that splinter out? Why didn't you ask her? He said, well, it always hurts when mom takes the splinter out. And he said, "Oh, I don't want you to take it out either. I want God to take it out by himself." And so Dad tried to explain to Jordan that sometimes God uses other people to heal. And yep, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts. You see, throughout the ages, Christians have experienced the healing and deliverance ministry of Jesus. And they have been healed in order to serve. They've been set free in order to help others and tell others about Jesus. Christians are known for starting schools to foster equal education, no matter what the social status or economic level. Christians have been known to start hospitals and medical missions throughout the world in some of the most impoverished nations. Dental, medical, optometry, and general disaster relief missions continue to this day, demonstrating the love and the compassion of Christ Jesus. Pine Rest Christian Mental Health Hospital was begun by our own denomination down in Cutlerville, Michigan. Sometimes God uses others to heal and to deliver and to care for others until that ultimate healing comes. Christians who have been healed and delivered from their own sin, their own sickness, or from other demons or addictions have been healed in order to serve. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Ready to bring your demons and sickness to the feet of Jesus? There's some humility involved there, right? Admitting that you have a problem, admitting that you have a need, that you need Christ. Are you ready to bring the sickness? Are you ready to bring the sin? Are you ready to bring that demon to the feet of Jesus? Or are you ready to be the one to take the splinter out that God can use to help take the splinter out, to help bring the care and the healing to someone else? Praise God that Jesus has the authority to heal and to set free. And sometimes he uses us to do that too. Will you join me in prayer? God of compassion, we thank you for the compassion and love of Jesus. Thank you for not leaving us as orphans, but coming to us, healing us, forgiving us, and setting us free from the things that oppress us and hold us captive. Lord, help us to have the humility to admit when we need help, when we need you, so that we may bring our struggles before you and to lift before you in prayer our friends who need healing and freedom. You are our strength, our joy, our hope. And we praise your name, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen.